long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope, to give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. God bless you. Thank you for joining us here. It's another great day to be alive, to be serving the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to get started with prayer and then into a message that I have entitled, Where Are We and Where Are We Going? Where are we and where are we going? Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God. We give you praise and thanksgiving for this day that you've made. You've commanded us to rejoice and to be glad in it, not because of the challenges and maybe the tribulation, but in spite of them, because they strengthen us. They make us stronger. They prepare us for what's ahead. And ultimately, what is ahead is that which awaits us at the end of the line. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for that. Bless this program and the words that I would say in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so where are we? And where are we going? You know, I kind of wonder if previous generations had a tendency to worry as much as we do. I think so. I think the tendency is to go to worrying about whatever it is that's happening. I mean, if you're very removed, and 150 years ago, and you're out on a farmstead somewhere, and you're not getting the rain. And then you got the baby that's got colic, and then the older one that's got the measles, and people are dying of the measles. And, you know, some of the problems of the past have simply passed. Well, the colic hasn't passed, right? And the corn crop is not a surety, but they didn't have irrigation then, so a lot of places have irrigation now. But they're replaced with new ones, so I'm not sure that we worry more than previous generations. I think we just worry about different things, as other things have been taken care of, so to speak, disposed of. Other things crop up. So 150 years ago, people weren't worrying about the stock market, or their portfolio value, and what would happen with tariffs and not with tariffs, and that kind of thing. 150 years ago, people might have been concerned about whether there's going to be enough food, but they would not have worried about the quality of the food supply. I mean, they grew it, right? What's that old saying? You grew it, you chew it. Not usually in that context, but nonetheless, it's popped into my head. Anyway, you could be reliant on the fact that your food supply was pure. You fertilized with your own chicken manure. You had your own eggs. You know, you had your own cow or Jersey that you milked, and maybe you had a problem with bad milk at some point through a hygienic situation in the milking process. I don't know, but those things were all controllable. And today we're finding out that our food supply is tainted, even maybe contaminated by food companies that really do not have our well-being in mind. They have profits in mind. Medications. Our medications seem to be compromised these days, many of them coming from China and whereabouts. Are they really good for us, or are they only good in the eyes of the pharmaceutical companies that are making them and pushing them on us? Didn't have that problem 150 years ago, did we? No, it was a great thing when penicillin came along. That was a great thing. And certain vaccines for known manifested diseases, which, whether it was measles or mumps or chicken pox. Inflation, well, inflation's been around. That's come and gone throughout history in this country for some time. But we have these problems. And people worry just about a new set of problems. One of the things that seems to be increasing, though, is an activity by the enemy of our souls who's out to create division. And what does division do? Division leads to strife, and strife leads to violence. We see that in the news all the time. I'll tell you whether, I don't even need to give you the examples. I don't want to waste the time on it because they're so evident, they're so manifest. And one of the things that has changed is that in this day and time, we have so many means of communication. We are day in and day out inundated by podcasts like this one. Now, well, some podcasts, news broadcasts on the TV, things you read in the paper or that you're getting texts about. News spreads like wildfire. It's easy to create division. It's easy to create strife. It's easy to create worry because the news is traveling so fast, you just finally kind of get settled down on something, and then there's something coming around the corner telling me whatever. I mean, I own very few stocks, but telling me, whoever owns this stock, they shouldn't have bought it. Well, it's one that I just bought a week ago. You know, that kind of a thing. It's actually needless worry. But more to the point is the matter of division. And I want to start this today with reading a passage out of 1 Peter. And it's 1 Peter 1, and I'm going to go through all the way through verse 13, and then we're going to break it down a little bit after that. But it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I'm going to stop there a second. Now, if I were an exegetical, is that the word? I think, preacher, I would be taking apart each one of these verses. I'm not going to do that because this is a topical message, and I want to get to a couple of key points here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope, or some translations, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So there's a couple of key things here I want you to notice. I read through this, and I'm only partway through. Verse 4, reserved in heaven for you, not in this life, reserved in heaven. Next passage, these things are kept by the power of God, revealed in the last time. Okay, there's dot number 2. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So the rejoicing here appears to be for a season. Why? Well, because they haven't been, we're not in the last time to have it revealed in the very last of the last time. Number 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm just going to throw in something here. I know Jimmy Swaggart had his problems and his fall from multiple trysts and so forth, but he sang a song, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. It's an old song, but the way he did it, to this day, I still love it. Singing and on the piano, it's a great song. I read that verse. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Emphasize that should follow. Like reserved in heaven, or like revealed in the last time. Okay, another dot, unto whom it was revealed that unto themselves but unto us they did minister, that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister, the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Isn't that something? We get preached to about things that the angels want to know about. They want to look into it. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so notice here that there everything kind of focuses towards the end. Where are we? Well, where we are in the position, like it said in verse 7 there, that the trial of our faith, that's where we are. But it's much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Where are we? Well, regardless of what point in time we are living, the fact is our faith is tried. Tried in fire. It's a challenge. That is where we are. This is where we are is where all humanity has always been while on earth, as far as the humanity that's living or attempting to live for the sake of the gospel. Now, the ones who don't know Jesus Christ, they're suffering too. They just attribute it to different causes. But you see what's going on, and I think what has struck me so much lately is just the legitimization more and more of violence. People speaking openly about killing, whether it's Trump or RFK or Peter Hegseth, or it doesn't matter. These veiled assassination threats, they're veiled just enough to give them maybe a dual meaning so that they can't be quite called a threat to kill. But that's clearly involved. And you know, as I have gotten older, I see very, very few movies. I'm trying to think the last one that I saw. The Lord, King of Kings. Actually, not that long ago. It's great. I love animation because I still like Looney Tunes. But this isn't Looney Tunes. It's animation of the gospel. And before that, I think I got to go all the way back to Secretariat. It was, 15 years ago or something? I just don't see them. I'm doing other stuff. But the things that I do see on TV, other than maybe sports, if it's news-related, it's just an increasing amount of violence. I'm fatiguing of the violence. The older I get, the more the violence is the most bothersome thing that comes across the screen, and I just get up and leave. I turn it off, change. I don't need it. So why are we where we are as a civilization? Well, if you look back in Genesis 6, kind of interesting here. Beginning in verse 5, it says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Yikes. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. In other words, he's sorry. And I sometimes wonder, all right, we've got Noah and his sons, and the whole earth is wiped out except for those guys. Do you think God was sorry the second time? I mean, kind of the restoration of man through Noah. Like, boy, I made the same mistake again. Well, God doesn't make mistakes, and he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what he's doing, but in my puny earthly mind, those are kind of the things that sometimes wander through between my left ear on the way to heading out of my brain on the right ear. But any case, he said, I will destroy man whom I have created, and so forth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. He was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God and begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And I have to tell you, it's hard for me, even to this day, as long as I've been a Christian, to read that passage that he created, had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, of not thinking of Curly, Moe, and Larry. I don't know why. It just kind of is in there. Anyway, verse 11. Here we go. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So the violence that bothers me so much now is something that characterized the earth eons ago and will characterize the world at the end. I'm not going to get to that because that's a little bit of a different message, but understand that it was violence that will fill the earth. I mean, who's the embodiment of Satan? Well, it'll be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is called the lawless one. And what did Satan come to do? To steal, kill, and destroy. Well, how do you kill without violence? Well, he'll kill any way he can. Bad medications, funky COVID-19 shots, who knows? Whatever he can do to kill, he'll kill. But it's violence in different forms. It may not be two guys fighting. It might just be, well, like I said, it could be through a whole bunch of things that were designed to extract life from the earth. So the earth was filled with violence. And when the word of God leaves, what enters? And it's the word of Satan enters. It expands. As I said, he came only to steal, kill, and destroy. So where we are as individuals goes back to that verse 7 in 1 Peter, where it says we're having our faith tried. This is not a one-time thing. This is a continuous thing. I've been around a little bit of gold mining. And I have a couple people who I've come to know, and they're gold prospectors, they're gold miners, and I think pretty successful at it. And that's about as close as I've been. There wasn't any gold in Michigan, and I don't think there still isn't any gold in Michigan. But the fact of the matter is, I do know that you don't just dig out a pure nugget for the most part, and it's just there totally unrefined. The refining process of gold is a storied tale, not a tale, but it's a storied a description of what it takes to get to pure gold. It needs to be refined. There's heat. The dross has to be taken off. And that's about as much as I can say with any authority. Beyond that, I don't know, except that I know that you don't just put it on the stove and it's done in 2 minutes. We're not talking parboiling gold nuggets. And no, that's not how it works. So it's a long process, and this is what's being described in verse 7. The trying of our faith, being much more precious than of gold. If gold takes a long time to try, well, the trying of our faith is a long process always. Always has been. It's lifelong. But as you pass various tests, i.e., you mature in the faith and you grow, guess what you're ready for? Probably ready for the next test, which will be bigger. But now you're prepared. God doesn't give us more, allows more to come upon us than what we can handle. But the question that follows is where are we as individuals? Well, we're caught up in that, but where is the world headed? Well, it's destruction. We know that. We know that from the book of Revelation and other passages in Scripture pointing the end times, that the earth is headed towards a destruction, not by water, but by fire. And that's quite clear, I think, in 2 Peter, among other places, that it mentions that. So where we are headed, I'm going to back up here. Where we are is verse 7. We're in the season of trying. But where are we headed? That's verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in the United States. No, it's reserved in heaven. and heaven is where that incorruptible inheritance undefiled is, that will not fade away. Verse 5, those of you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our point is coming, guys. It doesn't matter how you start, it only matters how you end, and it ends really, really, really well for those who are walking in the faith, and their patience is, or I mean, their faith is tried, and they become pure. Go to verse, and I read verse 7, but then jump down to 11. Talking about the grace that should come unto us, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The sufferings of Christ is where we are now. But the glory that should follow is what follows. One is where we are, the other one is where we are going. All of this, if it could be kept in mind, should absolve all the doubt and fears and worries that we have. I know we're in these fleshly bodies, but we're to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But to be reminding ourselves, building ourselves up in the Holy Ghost, in the Word of God, by these encouragements that this isn't the end. This is just a passage. This too shall pass. We're headed to the glory that should follow. And then verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did these things were they ministered, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore then, verse 13, wherefore, everything I've said up to now, everything that the Scripture says up through verse 12 leads to the wherefore. Wherefore, as a result of all of this thing, knowing that you have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, it's not going to fade away, but it's reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith to be revealed in the last time, but wherein you're greatly rejoiced, thou now, but for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or distress through trials and tribulations. All the things that are happening now, but keeping in mind all the things that lay in wait for you, about the trying of our faith, about the glory that should follow, all of the challenges of the here and now, and all the promises in the future come down to verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, it's by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of our own, but it's a gift of God. So we are given great grace when we are saved. Grace is really a change agent. Grace can't come on a scene or a situation without a change occurring. And as significant as that was the day that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the greatest grace of all comes at the return and the revelation of Jesus Christ. This will be really the fullness of the grace which we have received in part, enough, of course, to be saved, enough to be able to deal with these temptations and trials and testings, hopefully successfully, but restoring us even when we have failed, because we haven't been so successful. I mean, maybe I'm just preaching to myself here, but that's, I can relate to that. But it comes down to girding up your loins of your mind. So that starts with keeping things out of your mind, your conscious thoughts, of things that would derail you. I mean, whether it's, yeah, I don't know. You mean you fill them all in, you know, lust, pornography, hatred, you know, violence that comes up in our own hearts. People I really just can't stand. And people say, you pray for them? Oh, yeah. I pray that they'd step out in front of a speeding Kenworth. Well, I'm only being a little bit facetious. It's hard sometimes. You know, people say, walk in love. Well, yes, at times I do. But sometimes it's not quite there. I don't pass the test. But I'm still being purified. I'm still being sanctified. Sanctification is a work at the beginning, but it's also a work in process. You see, the Lord sees us when we get saved as if we just finished, fully sanctified. However, between the then and the now and the future is actually a process of sanctification. In other words, the process of growing into and becoming that which he sees us as at the end, completed, fulfilled, successful, having run the race and having run it well. I want to bring in one other passage here before we're done, and it's back in Matthew, chapter 24, and I want to start with verse 37. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." So, when I go back to, yet the earth was filled with violence back in Genesis chapter 6, those were the days of Noah, all right? Well, be like the days of Noah when the Son of the coming of man is. Why that time in particular? Well, it's because at the end, the earth will be filled with violence as it was before. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Well, knowing what things were like back then, I kind of wonder what those marriages were like. But until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wow. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken into. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? That's a question. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. In other words, he's saying, you need right to the end. Right to the end. All these things we've been talking about will be manifested in the end. And when he returns, are we doing the things that he's called us to do? Are we being the person he's called us to be? All of these promises await us. But we need not worry. We need not worry. Because we're going to the end of the line. We're going to the end of the line. And if you follow this, you're going to make it. You need not worry now, but rest in what awaits you.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints to not just survive, but to thrive in the end times, through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
You know, I was just thinking about that song, The Traveling Wilburys. We're going to the end of the line. You're going to the end of the line. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. God bless you. We'll see you next week.